The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Joe. And as he mentioned in that prayer, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we hope to consider that this morning, Philippians chapter 4. So we continue to think about learning contentment and to focus on verse 8 this morning, learning contentment through godly thinking. Now, we're going to make our way to verse 8, but we'll begin reading in verse 6 because none of these topics that we've been considering is isolated to itself. Instead, they're all interconnected. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You may remember from verse 6 that opening phrase, be careful for nothing, is found also in Matthew chapter 6, where it literally says, take no thought for the morrow. Don't be concerned with an excess degree of thought. Obviously, as we're going to think about and talk about this morning, you are thinking about something all the time. Okay? This idea of Eastern meditation and you clear your mind. Well, there's a degree that you can, you know, calm things down and have a more open clarity of mind. But we are essentially thinking about something all the time. And that's the reality of the situation. Okay? And as the Bible always does, it doesn't just tell you to not do something that you ought not be doing. It gives you a positive charge to do something in its place, right? The Bible doesn't say, just don't do this. It tells you, do this good thing in place of it, right? So, we don't need to necessarily just tell ourselves, I don't need to think about bad things. No, you just need to make a choice to think about good things, right? To have our mind consumed, not with things of this world and all the turmoil and anxiety and restlessness that's all around us in this world, but instead to have a peace of mind. And where does that peace come from? It does not come from thinking on the things of this world. Remember the definition of contentment that we've been trying to meditate on together. Rest or quietness of the, you guessed it, mind, rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. Satisfaction which holds the mind in peace, restraining complaint, opposition, or further desire. And if you're going to be content in the state that you're in, then that is going to flow from your thoughts. Okay? But remember how we made our way to verse 8. Verse 6, don't be worried and concerned, filling your head with bad thoughts, right? Being concerned that God may not provide for you. There's a level of attention and concern we need to have to the things of the world around us. But when we let that rise to the level of being full of care and concern and worry, that's a lack of faith. That's a lack of trust in God's provision for us. And how do we commend that excess of thoughts that might give us anxiety and fear? How do we alleviate those? Do you just decide to quit thinking about them? I'm sure you've probably heard the old phrase, the best way to get somebody to do something or not, or to think about something is to tell them not to think about that, you know? If I told you something to not think about, our nature is to think about that thing that I just told you to not think about, right? That's our nature. So, are you going to be able to control your thought process by saying, you know what, I'm not going to think about this? Probably not. It's probably not going to work that well. What's the best means of you, the first step of you controlling your thought process? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right? To spend time in prayer, to commend those thoughts over to Him. And what's the effect of praying unto the Lord and relieving those burdens as we come to Him in prayer? What's the effect of that? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep means to protect, to guard. How is your mind going to be guarded? You know, Jesus told the apostles, three of them, when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. How do we control our thought processes? Well, one of the most important aspects of that is following the biblical command to pray without ceasing, right? To fill our mind with those good, honorable, praiseworthy things. To pray unto the Lord, and if we really just fill our mind, going back to the original message we were trying to consider, learning contentment, not in the things of this world, but learning contentment in Jesus Christ. And what's the greatest commandment? To love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all your mind, right? And you know as well as I do, the things that you love, that's what you think about. That's what occupies your mind. The things and the people that you love, you think about them a lot, don't you? They fill your mind. You don't have to purposefully make a decision to think about things that you love. No, your thought process is an expression of where your affection lies, right? Where your love lies. And if we love God with all of our heart and soul and mind, if we follow the greatest commandment, it's amazing to me how there's nothing that's more complex in the life of a disciple than obeying the greatest commandment. But there's nothing more simple than obeying the greatest commandment, because it takes care of everything else. Loving God as we ought takes care of everything else. If you love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, don't you want to talk to the people that you love? Of course you do. You want to spend time with the Lord in prayer and communion with Him in prayer. Why? Because you love Him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, right? If we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, He's going to be the source that our mind is drawn back to, right? It's amazing how simply obeying the greatest commandment takes care of essentially everything else in our life of discipleship. But there's nothing more difficult than properly obeying that greatest commandment, right? And obeying especially this admonition to control our minds and our thoughts. And I want you to understand how important this is. Because if we're honest with ourselves, every single sin, every single shortcoming starts with a what? It starts with a thought. It starts with a stray thought that I'm not properly bringing into captivity. We're going to end up in this verse, hopefully. But I want to go ahead and introduce this to you so you can be thinking about this as we continue through the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And then verse 4 is a parenthetical statement. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God and seven components of that armor of God. And one of those components is a helmet. It's a helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do? It protects your head. It protects your mind. And it's very important for us to be mindful that we have been saved by God's sovereign grace, right? We need to put on that helmet of salvation every single day, because that protects your mind. especially when Satan is trying to corrupt and influence your mind. Don't turn here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, Satan knows that he's a defeated foe. We know that, as was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, Jesus has crushed the head of the serpent, right? He has crushed the head of the serpent. And he knoweth he hath but a short time. And he knows that he has no ability to remove the efficacy of the new birth in the heart of the child of God. He can't go and steal anyone's heart eternally, right? He doesn't have that ability. But what Satan can do here in this world is he can corrupt our mind. And I'll tell you, there's no message, arguably, that's more relevant and needful for God's people right now with everything we are bombarded with, seeking to influence our mind. And what is Satan described as? The prince of the power of the air. Isn't it interesting that the television waves are described as the air waves? Do you think the prince of the power of the air has any influence in those air waves? And then you project it out to the internet. I'll tell you, there is no mindset that is more important than us controlling our thoughts and purposefully choosing to think on godly, praiseworthy things to honor the Lord and think about the Lord, because your mind is under assault every single day. But understand, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. How are those weapons of our warfare mighty? Well, that helmet of salvation is not really your helmet of salvation. That's Jesus's helmet of salvation. He says that's his breastplate of righteousness and his helmet of salvation in the book of Isaiah. And then we have been given that helmet of salvation by grace, right? So it's not like David, when he was going out to fight Saul and Saul was really impressed with his armor. You know, I made my own armor, right? The weapons of our warfare, how are they mighty? Are they mighty because I'm a very skilled craftsman in choosing the right metal and constructing this helmet in the appropriate way to where it protects me? I have thought about every angle that an enemy could come from, and I've chosen the right metal based on all of my thoughts of the possibility of what the enemy might bring at me. In other words, I am constructing my own protection, my own weapons. No. The reasons the weapons of our warfare are mighty is because they're mighty through God. And by the way, at the end of verse 7 there in Philippians chapter 4, he shall keep your minds and hearts through what? Through you making a decision to do the right thing? No. Your minds and hearts are kept through Christ Jesus, right? It all comes back around to our Savior, right? It all comes back around to Jesus Christ. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Well, I tell you, our minds can get so carried away so quickly, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and this is the phrase that I want, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And then reading through the period in verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing into captivity every thought unto obedience of Christ. Now, this implies that it might be difficult to bring those thoughts into captivity. You know, is it easy to have someone who is running away from you? You know, have you ever tried to chase a chicken? Or is it difficult to catch something that doesn't want to get caught? Is it difficult to bring something under control that doesn't want to be under control? Is it difficult to, you know, break that wild stallion who is bucking around and doesn't want anybody on the back? Well, you know what? It's difficult to bring our thoughts into captivity, right? It's difficult to control my thought process. Because, you know, I can be, think I'm focused and zoned in for a little bit, but I'll tell you, all it takes is that one stray thought. That one stray thought that snowballs out of control. Next thing you know, you have a full-scale avalanche, right? I know you struggle with the same things. That it's that one stray thought that you don't bring into captivity. And where does that one stray thought go? It usually multiplies exponentially, right? And like I said, every single sin, you didn't just absent-mindedly decide to go do something. No, it started with a thought. It started with thought that led to an action. We need to set our minds on things above, not on things beneath. If we focus on Jesus Christ, if we focus on the Lord, obviously these are the things we're going to think about. Okay? Let's go ahead and go to Psalm chapter 1 before we bring it back to Philippians chapter 4 and consider these eight characteristics of godly thought that we need to be meditating upon. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 that you need to think on these things. Now, that word think does not mean one thought. That does not mean a passing thought. That means meditation. That means these are the thoughts that are continually revolving in your mind. We closed last week with Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 3. Thou will keep them in perfect peace whose mind thinks about the Lord one time a day. When I have my closing prayer when I'm going to bed, thinks about the Lord just when I'm making sure I have my obligatory prayer right before I eat this really delicious chicken that I'm going to eat for lunch. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And as I said last week, if our minds are not in perfect peace, that's a symptom. It's a symptom of a problem. And what's the symptom? Or what's the cause of that symptom? My mind is not stayed on the Lord as it ought to. And it's also a symptom that I'm not trusting the Lord as I ought to. So, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, not who thinks about the Lord one time a day, one time a week, one time a month, whose mind is stayed on thee. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You think about things you delight in, don't you? You think about the things that you love. Do we really delight in the Lord? You know, when I have that spare moment, this is so convicting. When I have that spare moment during the day, right? You know, I'm busy, I'm buzzing around and doing stuff. But when I have those 5 or 10 minutes, what does my mind gravitate to? Does it gravitate to the Word of God? Does it gravitate to Jesus Christ? I know the answer to that question, and please don't answer out loud. I know the answer to that question in my life. But the things that we delight in are the things that we think about. They're the things that our mind naturally goes back to. In his law doth he meditate. You need to be reading your Bible every day. You know, I've beat that drum so much since I've been here. But you know what? You don't need to just read it. You need to meditate upon it. Read it in the morning. It's very important to read your Bible in the morning, because what do you have to meditate on during the day if you hadn't read in the morning? Right? Meditate. How often? Day and night. Now, let's go the opposite direction in this chapter. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's a reason why the actions in verse 1 are being exhibited by this blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why does the blessed man that's meditating upon the Word of God, why does he not have any desire to even walk by the counsel of the ungodly, let alone stop there for a little bit and stand, and definitely don't want to get comfortable sitting in the seat of the scornful? Why does he, A, not have a desire to do that? Because he's meditating on the Word of God day and night. And he doesn't want to be around ungodliness that is contrary to the Word of God and dishonoring to our Lord. He don't want to be around that. But let's take it from a negative perspective. What happens when someone does walk in the counsel of the ungodly? I can guarantee you he walked there because he had a thought to walk there. Why did he make a decision to stand there? Why did he get more comfortable? He wasn't just passing by really quickly. Why did he make a decision to stop for a little bit and linger and stand in the way of sinners? That was another thought that said, I'm going to stay here a little bit longer. And you know what? This is not that bad. I'm getting a little bit more comfortable. I'm going to sit down in the seat of the scornful. Why do you think he decided to sit? Because there was a thought that said, you know what? It's not that bad. It's not that bad if I hang out here a little bit longer. But if we delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth we meditate day and night, we don't have any desire to do that. Why? Because our thought process is telling us, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to have anything to do with the wickedness of this world. It's very important to understand that to a large degree, our actions flow from our thought process. You know, Jesus said, the heart and the mind are different. The heart and the mind are different and they're distinct, but they're very closely connected. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I said that without thinking. Well, no. No. What you said is a result of your thought, whether you like it or not. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Put it a different way, out of the abundance of the mind thinketh, and then the mouth speaketh, right? Every one of our words starts with a thought. Our brain is really an amazing thing, by the way. I mean, things happen so fast. People say, oh, I did it without thinking. No, you're really just thinking so fast, you don't even realize. You know, our brains are really amazing. It's surprise, surprise, the Lord made them, right? We're made in the image of God. And we are not God, and we don't necessarily have the mind of God, not to the degree that he has, but we are made in the image of God. It's not any surprise that our brains are such an amazing, you know, part of our bodies, right? But not just your speech comes from your thoughts, your actions do too. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're told that when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Where do you think that lust came from? It came from a lustful thought, right? It's so important for us to bring every thought into captivity, to make sure that we are praying unto the Lord as we ought. You know, that's such a protection. I want to go back to Philippians chapter 4. It's by our praying unto the Lord in everything, every little bitty thing. You know, let's say if there's a specific situation, if there's a circumstance that I'm dealing with, Satan is continually trying to attack and onslaught every little bitty situation. And do you think that that situation is better for you to think about that situation in a good, positive way if that situation has been bathed in prayer or not? So what I'm saying is, if our default position is to pray to the Lord in everything, do you think that your thoughts on that position in that situation are going to be good and godly and better or worse because you prayed? You see, that is the necessity of bringing everything to God in prayer, because it's by prayer that our minds are kept, guarded, protected, right? It's almost like we are this beautiful depiction in the Psalms that describes the Lord as bringing us under the shadow of the Almighty, and this depiction of a mother eagle, a mother bird bringing her wing over the child. That's essentially what the Lord is doing when we bring everything to Him in prayer. And that's protective, right? He's keeping us. He's protecting us. He's protecting our mind. And our weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through what? Through God. He's the one that's protecting our mind. And our mind is protected when we bring those situations to Him in prayer and we acknowledge before Him our dependency upon Him to even think good things. You know, now we're not going to delve off into the total depravity of man, but our minds naturally are so corrupted. I mean, don't turn here, but Romans chapter 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we've been born again by the Spirit of God, but we still have that mind. Oh, I get so frustrated and ashamed with where my mind goes sometimes before I catch it, before I bring it into captivity. Because I still have a carnal mind. And what's the nature of that carnal mind? It does not gravitate to things that are true, honest, just, virtuous, that praise God, that are of God. My mind does not gravitate to that. What does my mind gravitate to? An enmity with God, and it doesn't even have the ability. The carnal mind does not even have the ability to be subject to the law of God. It doesn't even have the ability to do anything that pleases God. Now, I'm thankful that we've been given a spiritual mind, but we still have that carnal mind. And boy, does it rear its head way too much. That carnal mind, my mind gravitates to those carnal things. And those carnal things are so opposed to God. That's why you got to consciously focus on the Lord, right? Understand, Satan is trying to feed that carnal mind. He's feeding it to tempt you. And I'll tell you, there is, with so much media and social media and news and the internet, everything that we're being bombarded with, I'll tell you, if in first century Judea and Rome and the area of the Mediterranean where most of these were penned, if in Corinth the Apostle Paul thought that Satan was trying to blind and corrupt the minds of God's children, then could you only imagine what the Apostle Paul would write if he was writing today in regards to the onslaughts of the corruption of the mind of God's children today? I believe this is probably as bad as it's ever been in regards to Satan's, and I'll tell you why I think it is getting the worst that it's ever been, is because Satan knows he's had a short time, and I don't know when the Lord's going to return the second time, but I do know this exact second is the closest we've ever been to His second coming, when He's going to be cast eternally into the lake of fire. Okay? I know that this is the closest that we have ever been to the second coming of the Lord. And don't you know that He's going to dial it up even more the closer? He knows. He knows He has but a short time. And don't you know he knows that time is getting shorter every single day? And what's he going to do? You know, what happens when that snake, when you cut off the head of that snake still, the body of that snake still moves after the head's been removed, and it removes, it squirms more violently right before it finally dies. That's what Satan's doing right now. He's squirming more violently. Why? Because he knows he has but a short time. It's so important that we bring every thought into captivity. It's so important that we put on the helmet of salvation. And it's so important that, brethren, we think on things, we meditate upon things that are true. There's eight things that the Apostle Paul lists here. The first being things that are true. Now, if we have a mindset where we think about the Lord, this takes care of itself, doesn't it? What is Jesus? He's the truth. If we're meditating continually upon the Word of God, day and night, what's the Word of God? The truth. Right? If we're filling our mind with Jesus Christ and filling our mind with the Word of God, our mind's not gonna gravitate to things that are false and gossip and scandalous things. No, our minds gravitate to what? Things that are true. I don't want to have anything to do with things that are falsely deceptive. Things that are honest, noble, not deceptive and deceitful. That word can also mean noble, reverend. We know that name, that title is only given not to a preacher, but to God. Holy and reverend is His name. And the more we think on Jesus Christ, our minds are going to be set on a higher plane. You know, we sang this morning, Lord, plant my feet on higher... Lord, plant my mind on higher ground. Lord, lift my gaze from the things of this world. Set my affection on things above, not on the things of the earth and the things beneath. Let my mind be filled with noble, reverend things, thinking about the name of God, right? Holy and reverend is His name. Just. Things that are just and righteous and pure and holy. I don't want to have anything to do with things that are unjust. I don't want to have anything to do with all of this wickedness that we are seeing exhibited in the world around us. And I'll tell you, we have been so sheltered from seeing the depravity of man in full display in our life. And we're starting to get a little bit of a taste of it. But I'll tell you, God is still restraining that. God is still restraining the wickedness and the depravity of men. And I hope that you see those things and you are repulsed by the wickedness of this world. Why? Because your mind is filled with true, honest, just things. I don't want to have anything to do with people that are trying to lie and cheat and be deceptive and dishonest and unjust. No, I want to be holy as God is holy. I want to be just and righteous. And then the next thing, pure, chaste, perfect, undefiled, lovely, acceptable, friendly, pleasing things, things that are lovely. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, love is the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to think about lovely things. If we're thinking about God, what is God? God's love, right? So we're going to think about lovely things. Whatsoever things are of good report. I'll tell you, there's not a lot of... Don't watch the news if you want a good report of anything. Because everyone has an angle. Everyone... I'm not saying everyone in the news media is being controlled by Satan. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you, the prince of the power of the air is using media of all forms to corrupt the minds of God's children. And that is a very prominent means that he is using to divide God's children. of good report. And then finally, he summarizes all of this by saying, if there be any virtue, things that are virtuous, moral excellence is what virtue means. A virtuous course of thought and feeling and action. A virtuous thought life. And then finally, he wraps it all up by saying, if there be any praise. I mean, our whole purpose is to glorify God, is to praise and honor God. And obviously, we're going to want to do that if we're thinking about the Lord, right? Surprise, surprise. We've arrived right back at the greatest commandment. We've arrived right back at what is our purpose? To glorify God, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And if you do that, you're going to want to think about things, not things that are dishonoring to the Lord. You're going to want to think about things that praise the Lord, right? And we'll read this again straight through. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to close out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Put on that helmet of salvation. You know, if Satan is trying to corrupt your mind, do you think that helmet of salvation is a very good defense against Satan? Do you remember what the opening description of that armor of God is? Put on, therefore, the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Right? Do you think that the best way for you to control your mind is, you know, meditation and clear my mind and empty my mind? And no, you want to know what's going to happen when you empty your mind? Some carnal thought's going to pop in there, right? Because you're always going to think about something. And what I'm telling you is you have to be very purposeful. Purposeful in controlling your thought process. Because if you don't, I've got a high suspicion that you're experience is the same as mine. When you don't purposefully bring every thought into captivity, your mind does not gravitate to true, good, honest, virtuous. That's not what your mind gravitates to. Your mind gravitates to carnal things. Okay? That's why you have to purposefully cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And is there anything that Satan is wanting to do more than to fill your mind with something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? That's the whole premise of Satan and the fall. And what did he want to do? He wanted to be equal with God. His whole motive in the fall was that he wanted to be worshipped and glorified the way that God did. He wanted to usurp the Lord. And that's what he's trying to do right now. What was the final admonition of our thought process? If there be any praise, what's Satan trying to take away? He's trying to control and blind and rob your thoughts, to take away thoughts that are praiseworthy to the Lord. He wants to fill your mind with high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And that's why we have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is such a tall order. This is such a challenging thing to do. I hope you understand your insufficiency to do it by yourself. How is it that the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to keep your minds and hearts? What's the last part of that verse? Through Christ Jesus. The weapons of our warfare, they're not mighty because I crafted them in the appropriate way to combat the wiles of my enemy, the devil. No, they're mighty through God. And you know what? I think if we're honest with ourselves, there are probably areas of your life, areas of your thought process that might be a stronghold. That is a besetting sin. I know I have them, and you probably do too. Well, how do you bust up that stronghold? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you want to know if we have a sin action problem in our life? You want to know where that starts? It starts in your mind. If you have an action problem, an external sin action that is a besetting sin, you want to know what you need to first bring into captivity? Control the thought. And that'll control the action. Pray unto the Lord. Read the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Think about the Lord. And our mind is obviously, if we think about the truth, if we think about the Word of God that is truth, our minds are going to gravitate to things that are true, right? Our minds are going to gravitate to things we delight in. And we should delight in the Lord. Delight in the Word of God. Our minds are going to gravitate to those things when we seek the Lord first. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, if you're going to seek the Lord first in your actions, you know what you got to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost in? Your thoughts, right? Because your actions will always follow your thoughts. We will sing a hymn to close, and I believe it's, Lord, how delightful 'tis to see. And the very last verse in that song is my struggle every single day. With thoughts of Christ and things divine, fill up this foolish heart of mine. Because I'll tell you, my mind does not gravitate to get that, my mind gravitates to foolish things. And Lord, I need you to fill up this foolish heart of mine. Fill up this foolish heart of mine with thoughts of Christ and things divine. I'll tell you, if we think about Christ and things divine, all of those eight attributes take care of themselves, right? We're going to think about things that are true and honest and virtuous and just and of good report and praiseworthy unto the Lord.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.